The title of the message is, What Are You Looking For? And here's the scoop. I'll give it to you right here at the beginning. I want you to leave today excited about the fact that no matter what is in front of you, you have a home in heaven. You have this gracious place called heaven. And these people of faith, as we're going through Hebrews chapter 11, they were ones that said, there is something that is out there. There is something that is in front of me. And because of that, they were excited about what was there. We talked a little bit last week about them being strangers and exiles. And I mentioned another version said aliens. What a great word that is, huh? Hey, aliens, how are you? We are strangers and exiles, and we need to finish up here. If you look in the ESV translation, maybe yours as well, it actually has verses 13 through 16 together. And so I want to get 14, 15, and 16 of Hebrews chapter 11. These people, and hopefully you, had a great faith because they had a faith in someone, that being God, and having a greater faith in something, that being heaven, is greater than you can imagine. The scripture says that they were seeking a homeland. And so I ask this question, what are you looking for? Now, I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna challenge some of your thoughts today, possibly, and hopefully you'll be okay with me, okay? Everybody all right here this morning? Right. We had one right. Well, good. Where are we going here? We are going to Hebrews chapter 12. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us and run with perseverance the race that's marked out in front of us. So there's a great cloud of witnesses. Join me in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 14 to 16. If you have a pew Bible, it's on page 1008. It's on the rack in front of you, on the chair in front of you. You can follow on the screen. You can listen, whichever way. Here we go. For people who speak thus, make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. Let me go back to verse 13. These all died in faith, and it's talking about Isaac and Jacob, Sarah. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. Now verse 14. For people who speak thus make it clear they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. They were seeking a homeland. Another version says they were seeking a country of their own. Now, here is my opinion. Most of us don't even understand what Scripture is saying here of this homeland. Because we were born in America, we live in America, we reside in America, we enjoy all the freedoms of America, and we actually get pretty frustrated at times when we don't get the freedoms that we think we're supposed to get. Because we just here. This is our home. Now, there's a couple of you that may not be true of, okay? And so in respect to you, you see things a little different. But the majority of us in this room, this is home. And so this homeland thing, we don't understand. We can actually get very comfortable here. Amen? Let me give you an example. I won't point out who exactly, but there's a couple of people here that haven't been in this new building yet, okay? And they consider themselves a part of our church or a guest of ours, all right? So they don't know where to sit exactly, all right? But everybody else, we've been here how many weeks? 25th, 2nd, 9th, 16th. Some of you have sat in the same chair all four Sundays. That's totally fine. I don't really have an issue with that. What I'm telling you is this. We want something familiar and we want to feel at home. And so we say, that's my chair. I understand many of you know Glenn Wessel. Some of you don't know him, but he's an older man, and he's picking his daughter up from the airport, so he's not here today, so I can pick on him. And you please share with him, Ron and Helen, about this. But Pastor Glenn is 85 years old, and he was helped putting wire racks on the bottom of the chair, so kudos to him. You tell him thank you somewhere along the way because he and Joy were doing that, and she's a couple years younger than him, okay? But he put like a paper plate with his name on it on one of the chairs before services even began. Here's my encouragement to you. Move around a little bit, all right? Move around. It's okay. Not right now. You don't need to get up right now. But I encourage you to do that. Why? Because here's what happens. We get home, and this is our place, and this is where we're at. But let me give you a side note. We aren't home yet. We're not home yet. And so as much as we want to be comfortable here, that's fine, sit in the spot that you're sitting, we have another homeland that is calling. Many of us are pretty content. But these of faith mentioned here were not content. They were not content. They were seeking a homeland that was far greater than themselves. I wish that you could sit down, and maybe you've done this. I wish you could sit down with somebody who doesn't understand, who sees us a little differently. Again, we're in America. We're here we are. Recently, my family took a trip down to Lincoln, Nebraska, which is where my in-laws are from, and that's a good place to go when you have in-laws there, because if you're not there much, then that's trouble. We have a neighbor. Her name is Soupy. Not everybody knows Soupy, but Soupy is like in her mid-80s or something like that, and she is a Korean-American. She was born in Korea, and being born in Korea, then there was an American service base there of some kind that she started working there, and she knew a little bit of English, and then after a number of years, she met an American soldier, and she married that American soldier, and then they decided to obviously come here. So talking with Soupy, she went with us down to Lincoln a couple of weeks ago, and talking to her about that, just thinking, here is a lady who she had like a 20-month-old, is that how old? Her 100 days. Her son was 100 days old, and she was leaving from Korea, and her husband, the soldier guy, was flying by himself, and she flew by herself with a 100-day-old. Side note, they lost the formula for this 100-day-old child, and so for 14 hours, that little guy didn't get to eat. Some of you mothers understand that. Some of you guys don't even understand that. Well, what's the problem? No big deal. Just like give them some sugar or something. But no, that didn't work. So she flies from Korea and lands in the United States of America hoping that this man will be here. He was. But I just got to talking to Soupy, and I was like, weren't you like a little scared about that? And weren't you nervous? And she quickly said, no, not at all. Because I wanted to come to the United States of America. There was great freedom and great hope, and everybody wanted to do that. Now, on a side note for just a moment, United States of America doesn't necessarily mean that it's the best place in the world. However, she had in her mind a homeland that was going to be greater. She didn't go back to Korea for how many years? 20 years? 29 years. She didn't go back to Korea. Now, you think about that. Think about this. What if I said, hey, I want you to go out to Australia, and you're just going to be there for the next 30 years. Don't even think about coming back. Some of you are like, how would I even do that? Some of you are like, let's go. When are we going? That would be a wonderful thing. Let's go to Australia right now. Like, is the plane leaving at 12:30? Because we could get out of here and make it happen. These people were seeking a homeland, but it's hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to get our minds wrapped around us. Several of us are too complacent, and so we are not seeking a different homeland. When we see this, for people who speak thus, make it clear they are seeking a homeland. Do people around you say, there's something different about that person? They're seeking something different. There's something beyond them that is driving them. Or is it just the same old, same old? These people in the chapter of faith were seeking a homeland in a different place. Does your lifestyle, does your language show that you are seeking a new homeland? Number two, they didn't turn around. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. They didn't turn around. Have you ever moved to a place that you really didn't want to? Hopefully that's not Pastor Bradley and Megan, all right? Please don't say that. But if you move to a place that you didn't really want to, you immediately start having these thoughts of, man, if we If we were back at the old, you remember how the kitchen in the old house? I mean, that was just so nice. It was just, now some of you don't understand this. You're like, I'm glad to be gone with that kitchen. That was a rotten place. But go with me here for a little bit. Boy, if we just had that old kitchen, I remember, oh, that was just a wonderful place. I just love that. 9 years ago, we moved from Sioux Falls to Rapid City. What if we would have done that? We were like, oh man, if we, that grocery store was sure nice close to our house, wasn't it, dear? And we could tell you, Hy-Vee was right around the place. That was sure nice. The park was right around the corner. It was sure nice because we had kids then. Let's just ride on down there. Many memories, but we didn't turn back. You can always find something wrong with the new place because it's new. Let me go back to where we're at personally as a church body. Some of you have found this in the new building. It's new, and so, well, it's just a little uncomfortable, a little bit different. Now, I will tell you, the chairs are nice and padded, aren't they? That's a good thing. Praise God for that, isn't it? It's a little different drive. The air conditioning, maybe it's still blowing your hair around, trying to get that adjusted. Here's the scoop. We aren't going back. We are going forward, and you're going forward, too. You want to do this. This is a good thing. Stephen Curtis Chapman sings a song, and it's called Burn the Ships. And basically it tells a story of the fact that when they were coming from England to America, they would get from England to America after going so many days and losing some lives and being full of all kinds of parasites and infections and everything. And they get to America, and they have these ships here, and there are some people saying, well, we better go back. I mean, this isn't right. This isn't good. And somebody said, no. What we're going to do is we're going to burn the ships. So we're not threatened. We're not tempted. We're not desiring to go back. Here's what it says. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. Hear me in this. Somebody needs to hear this morning, I believe. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and to give you a future. Burn the ship. Seek something out there. Sometimes we hold on so tightly in the past when God is saying, move forward. And if God is asking you to move forward, then do that. Don't go back. God is in this too. He's not only in this, but he's in this. Trust him and have faith in him there. Well, it's too difficult. It's too far. It's too hard. The people talk here differently. When you go somewhere, it's like, they talk a little different there. I don't know what they're saying. I can't understand their language. They look different. God says, keep on going. There's a story told of a wife who walked into her room of their house, and she found her husband poking his head into the cabinet of their grandfather clock. She said, what are you doing? And he responded, this clock smells just like my parents' house. I guess you could say I was going home for a moment. They had moved 20 years prior, but the aroma of that wood took him back to his childhood. Now, there's something good about having memories, but he can't live there. He can't live in his childhood. He's got to move on. Some of us that some of you that are younger in the room, it's time just to step up. You're young adults. You got to do it. That's okay. Number three, these people desired a better country. Do you know of a better country? It is a heavenly one. Let me share with you from Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through Philippians 4, 1. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For man, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Hear this. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and their glory in their shame with mind set on earthly things. Maybe you need to write this down somewhere. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Your citizenship is in heaven if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't catch this, catch this. Your citizenship is in heaven if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you walk out of these doors this morning, you can say, I know there's a lot of junk in my life and there's a lot of things that are in front of me, but my citizenship is in heaven. And you can say, praise the Lord for that. What do you desire? I say that you desire a better country, but I also say that you desire something you can't take a hold of yet. We only get to that country when God calls us home at just the right time. None of us, I think, desire to go home early, but we have to know that our citizenship is in heaven. A few years back, when we were living in Sioux Falls, we had some neighbors, and their names were Mark and Helen. Mark and Helen Sterling. They lived two houses down. Helen owned a daycare, and so Manel, being at home, would run down and talk to Helen. Mark was on a group called YWAM, Youth with a Mission. I don't know if you're familiar with them or not, but they're kind of a missionary group. And so several years ago, when Mark was with YWAM, he went down to Australia. And being in Australia, he didn't know Helen at that point in time until he showed up in Australia, and he met a lady by the name of Helen. Mark met Helen. Helen met Mark. They fell in love, and so they ended up getting married. Well, Helen was born in Australia, lived in Australia, had the Australian accent. I can't do that by any means, so I won't even try. She still does. Well, several years ago, after we had left from Sioux Falls, Mark fell down, and he got injured. And he was outside, and he, like, broke a hip or something, and all he could do was, like, crawl to the door. And she just got to thinking, boy, I've never become a citizen of the United States. I was married, and so I came and lived here, but I've never been a citizen. What would happen if Mark was to die? Would they send me back to Australia? So she started thinking about that. So she went through the process of becoming a United States citizen. She called us up and she said, hey, by the way, I'm becoming a United States citizen and I'm going to be nationalized, I think that's the right term, at Mount Rushmore. Would you like to come and be a part of that? And I'm like, you bet. That's a wonderful thing. Has anybody ever done that? Has anybody ever been up to the Mount Rushmore? It's kind of one of those things that nobody ever knows about until the day after. And I'm like, man, I wish I knew about it. I'd go up there. And when I went up there, there was like 160 or so people that were nationalized on that day from like 40 different countries. And I was looking in the program. And as I was looking through the program, I was like, I was thinking about like a graduation ceremony where the one person stands up here and says, Dawson, caller, and then Dawson comes across the stage and shakes the hand and moves the tassel and away they go. And I was looking at some of the names in the program and I thought, oh, gracious me, who is the guy that has to say all those names? I mean, because we're talking from Russia and United Arab Emirates and Poland and, you know, silent letters and, you know, you have like five consonants in a row, and you're like, you can't have five consonants in a row in a word. You got to have a vowel in there somewhere along the way. I was thinking, oh man, I'm glad I'm not that guy. By the way, that's not what happened. The person would come up to themselves and say, Stephen Selfridge, and then they would go on across the stage. But imagine this lady by the name of Helen and the other ones that were said, you are an American. There's something that happens in their life. See, again, we don't understand this. According to daytranslations.org, the process to gain U.S. citizenship can be less than a year or could take several years. One of the reasons, based on where you're located when you apply for citizenship, If you're not yet a permanent resident, a green card holder, this is where your entire process to gain U.S. citizenship will start. If your parents are not U.S. citizens, you have to immigrate to the U.S. first and become a permanent resident. Later, you have to establish the required 5-year continuous residency and apply for naturalization. The residency requirement is shorter by about 2 years if you're married to a citizen of the United States or you are part of the United States Armed Forces. How's Artemis doing in her citizenship, Bruce? Is she still going through it? 2 more years, hopefully. Bruce's daughter-in-law is from Cyprus and married Kyle, and so she's working on that. She would speak better at this than me. But if you've ever known anybody who tried to become a citizen of the United States of America, wow. The process that has to happen with that. Imagine the day, though. Think back to this for just a moment. Because a lot of individuals that are coming as wanting to become a United States of America citizen, they don't know the language very well. They don't know the jots and the tittles that you need on a certain form. Some of you have worked with the government before, right? And working with the government, you know that if that little dot was in the wrong place, then we're going to send it right back to you and say, it's wrong. And then you're like, what did I do wrong? Well, the dot was in the wrong place. Where at? Well, on page 66, it was wrong. What do you mean on page 66? How in the world did I miss that? Silly me. Imagine the days, the weeks, the months, maybe even years it takes to become a legal citizen. These individuals who work for this, the length can be difficult. So imagine the day when they get their paperwork in the mail and say, you are an American citizen. Imagine the joy. Imagine the relief. Imagine the tears. Imagine the delight. Do you know to gain citizenship in heaven, you don't have to sign any form? God doesn't send to you a 120-page test and say, make sure you answer it correctly, because if you don't get it all right, I'm going to send it back to you, and you better get it right, because I know how many days you have left, and if you don't get it done right, sorry. That's not the way God works. All you have to do is say, Christ, I believe in you, and you confess it with your mouth, and you meet it, and then you become a citizen of heaven. Isn't this incredible? All you've got to do is say yes, and you become a citizen of heaven because you are seeking a better country. Catch this. In Revelation 21 and 22, here are some things about heaven. A river, clear as crystal, will flow from the throne of God and of the Lamb, Jesus, down the middle of the city. On each side of the river, there will be a tree of life, yielding 12 kinds of fruit every month. The streets will be pure gold, like transparent glass. The walls of the city will be adorned with every kind of jewel, emerald, onyx, amethyst, topaz, etc. There'll be no need for sun or moon and no need for a temple or church. The presence of the Lord will be its life. We don't get there by filling out a form, but accepting God's grace through faith, we have a home in heaven, and I hope that you're encouraged by that, because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Some of you are saying, how come God doesn't take me now? Let's just say it isn't your time. Ecclesiastes says there is a time for everything. You have citizenship, but you can't take full claim on it yet. But you can, like these others, look forward with great expectation. Now, the scripture doesn't done here yet, because here's what it says. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called your God. I want to talk about this for just a moment. This is kind of funny to me. God's not ashamed to be called your God. It's an interesting phrase. Maybe one that you should think about a little more. You ever been embarrassed by someone? Kids? My kids? Has your dad ever embarrassed you? Millie? Has your dad ever embarrassed you? Is right now one of those times? No, not at all. Do you want to come on the platform with me? No, I'm joking. Some of you take great pride in embarrassing others, don't you? Some of us do that. It's like, oh, that's kind of fun. Some of you, no, not at all. What's at the bottom of embarrassment? The bottom of embarrassment in my mind is shame. My kids don't want to feel shame because I embarrass them. This is interesting. This is an interesting phrase. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Are you ashamed of God? Do you live a life that's you're ashamed of God? That if people say, oh, are you a Christian? Well, yeah, I'm
a Christian, Nick.
Where do you go to church?
I go to First Wesleyan Church.
Where is that at?
Oh, it's just kind of over there somewhere.
Where is that?
Just over there somewhere over there.
Are you ashamed of God? Sometimes we are ashamed. Don't be ashamed, because God's not ashamed of any of you. And hear me in this. You have a citizenship in heaven, and no matter what you've done, God's not ashamed of you. Hear this. Please hear this. Sometimes we walk around and we feel shame because we think, do they really know me? Because if they really know me, they'd probably be ashamed of me. And sometimes we think of this, and other people look at the church and say, well, do you know who goes to that church? I know what they've done. Do you know what they've done? Now, there are consequences for sin. I get that. But God's not ashamed of each one of you. And when you walk out of here, you shouldn't feel ashamed by any means. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you should walk boldly saying, God is not ashamed of me, no matter what I've done, no matter what. God is not ashamed of you. That's what the Bible says. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. God's not ashamed of you. You think of Isaac, you think of Jacob, you think of Sarah, you think of the people in the old, were they perfect? They were not perfect. But God was not ashamed of them. How incredible is that? Here's what I say is saying, God's got your back. Even when we mess up and we mess up royally, God's got your back. Praise the Lord for that. And I'm glad that God is okay with being called my God, and I'm still a citizen of heaven. God was not ashamed of these, and he's not ashamed of you. And then we got to go to number five. God has prepared for them a city. God has prepared for you a city. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. A few years back, there was a story, a book written, and then there was a movie that was made. I remember the movie myself, but there was a movie that was written about a young lady, and her name was Dorothy. And she lost her way from Kansas, and she wanted to get back home. There was someone who said, you need to go to the Emerald City of Oz and see the wizard. So off she goes to find that grand city, to find the wizard to return home. She wanted to go home to Kansas, and she faced several battles and encountered some friends along the way. I know. Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore. But we are heading towards a city far grander than the Emerald City. It's a place called heaven. There are those who are there who are cheering us on. There are a cloud of witnesses who are saying, let me tell you, it's far greater and grander than you can ever imagine. It's grander than that. Don't stop. You have a citizenship in heaven, and there's a homeland that is far greater than anything here. Don't give up. Don't give in. I'm encouraging you today, look beyond you. Look much further beyond you to a city that is truly grand, a city prepared for those of faith like you and I. And no matter what you have in your world right now, all that junk, all that busyness, the city that is there is far grander than anything. And I hope you grab a hold of this. Hear these words. I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. Earth is a desert drear. Heaven is my home. Danger and sorrow stand round me on every hand. Heaven is my fatherland. Heaven is my home. What though the tempest rage, heaven is my home. Short is my pilgrimage, heaven is my home. And time's wintry blast soon shall be overpast. I shall reach home at last, heaven is my home. Therefore I murmur not, heaven is my home. Whatever my earthly lot, heaven is my home. And I shall surely stand there at my Lord's right hand. Heaven is my fatherland. Heaven is my home. You are seeking a homeland. Heaven is your home. God has prepared for you a city. Desire better than this world. Stand with me today. I want to pray for each of you as you leave from this place on this day. Bow your heads with me if you would. Before I pray, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I know maybe you came in this morning and you don't have assurance of heaven. I want everyone in this room to have assurance of heaven before you leave, because heaven is going to be a grand place. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And when you utter those words of, yes, Jesus, I believe in you and I want to follow after you, then you can be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and have a citizenship in heaven. If you've never done that, you need to do that today before we leave, quietly, wherever you're at. I encourage you to do that. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to walk out of here with great boldness today, knowing that whatever is in front of you is not anything that will take away heaven from you. Lord Jesus, I pray for each individual, from the youngest boy, the youngest girl, to the person who would find themselves the oldest in this room. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the scripture today that encourages us about these people of great faith that said there's a better homeland, and we have a better homeland. It's not even this building. It's something far grander, a city that you've prepared. And so, Lord Jesus, on this day, I pray that you would be with someone that needs to make the assurance of faith in their life. And when they do that, they say yes to you, and then they walk out of here knowing that no matter what's happened, that you have forgiven them, that you have set them free from their sin, and now they have a citizenship in heaven. And then, Lord, I pray that you would be with each and every other person in this room. Thank you for the plans that you have for us. Thank you that you have a homeland for us. Help us not to be too complacent here in this world, and help us to long for that. Help us to see something far beyond. Thank you for those who have gone on before us. Think of some individuals that are represented within this room, of a spouse or a grandfather or an uncle, whoever it might be that's cheering them on. May we look beyond where we're at, and may we leave today being encouraged by the great understanding that you are not ashamed to be called our God, and you have prepared for us a city. As we go from this place on this day, thank you, God, for preparing a place for us. And when you call us home, may we be ushered into that place. Thank you for your love for us. And now I pray that you would go before us this week, that you would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and everything we think, everything we say, everything we do would be in praise to you. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for meeting with us here today. We love you, dear Jesus, and we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.